Lots of Rider fans still pumped up. It's all the talk at the water cooler this morning. 34-30, Riders win the Labor Day Classic. Gosh, I mean, always have to keep it interesting, don't they, those Riders? 31-17 is the score. Into the fourth quarter, and then Winnipeg starts their comeback. They're within 2 points of tying us, so they just scored a touchdown. They're going for the two-point conversion with 30 seconds left, and then this.
Dramatic two-point try. Kolaris. Intercepted! Tavon Campbell! He can score two for the Riders if he takes it all the way, and he will! They denied the two. They'll score the two. Campbell gets to the end zone, and we got a four-point game.
Yeah, and it ended up winning. The Riders won with that four-point lead, 34-30. So they now officially have a 39-21 record in the 60 years of the Labor Day Classic back in Winnipeg to take on the Bombers this coming weekend for the Banjo Bowl. So Green and White Progs will be back up for you at noon on Friday. Speaking of Riders, Sean Bain Jr. is going to join me on the program tomorrow. Saskatchewan Rough Rider, who is very involved, in fact, with World Vision and made a recent trip to Kenya in the off season. We'll talk about that and why the importance of the work that he does is a focus for him off the field, as well as, of course, the rider focus on. That's tomorrow on the program, tomorrow on the show. Well, you might remember earlier this year, closer to the start of the year, we had a representative on from the Saskatoon Institute of Medical Simulations. The CEO, in fact, Jan Hebert, joined us to talk about what the Institute does and why the training that they offer there is so important for healthcare in the province. We talk about healthcare on this program day in and day out. And what this program is all about, SIMS, is really about simulating situations that are like real life situations, scenario-based almost training, but gives the professionals the opportunity to do it and work out some of the challenges that could arise in these, whether it's an operating room situation or any sort of a healthcare situation, work out the problems in a simulated environment as opposed to in the real environment. So we are seeing great things happening in our province with healthcare professionals that have been part of SIMS. We're getting closer to the grand opening of their new facility, and that's why I wanted to bring Jan Hebert back onto the show, the CEO of Saskatoon's Institute for Medical Simulation. Jan, thanks so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Evan, for having me once again. It's an absolute honor.
So maybe let's start, just remind listeners, what is the work that you do at SIMS?
Yeah, we create simulations, medical simulations, and the key is to have them in a safe and controlled learning environment. And having a safe environment that's risk-free, where mistakes don't harm patients, that's where the foundation is of simulations. So we'll have simulated emergency department rooms, for example, and the team will come in there, and there's a mannequin or a standardized patient, so an actor that's acting like a patient, and we've got all of the simulated equipment to hopefully help that patient rather than harm the real patient. So it's a lot of practice, just like you know, the riders, they're practicing all week for the game yesterday, and they had a great outcome, and that's what we want to do at SIMS, is encourage good outcomes.
So is the work that you do there part of other courses that already exist, or is it a standalone course that you host at SIMS?
No, it's a variety of many courses. In fact, we really love to find out where there is a gap in knowledge and develop training around that. So we do courses such as advanced cardiac life support, pediatric advanced life support, trauma training, and as well, we do first aid CPR for general public and for corporations or businesses that require it for their staff.
It's, you know, I think about the training even in my old life in policing, how far it's come in terms of scenario-based training, not just sitting in a classroom listening to a lecture, but actually hands-on training, and the difference it makes, not only in how you deliver the service, but I would even say in the confidence of the professionals. You must hear that sort of feedback from your students.
Absolutely. And that's a big part, is if we can continue with quality improvement and improve the teamwork and communication. Because if we take a look, and the reason I started Sims was because my mother died from a medical error. So it's about what happened, why did it happen, and what can we put in place to prevent it from happening again? And the truth is, it's we kind of get this crew resource management or crisis resource management from aviation. There was a lot of a lack of effective communication and teamwork, a lack of situational awareness amongst crew members in aviation that often led to critical errors. And healthcare is adopting that, or has adopted it, to hopefully do the same thing to improve on that teamwork and communication, because that's a big area where that needs to lead to smoother and safer delivery of healthcare.
Jan Hebert is my guest, the CEO of the Saskatoon Institute for Medical Simulation. So what type of simulated training are you doing? Can you walk us through different areas of your building and help us understand, okay, in this room they're doing what?
We've got four different simulation labs, and we also have a simulated apartment. And our apartment will be in full use next week. So it's got a bed in there. It's got it looks just like an apartment with all of the resources that you need in there. And we've got the nurses and nurse practitioners from Montreal Lake Cree Nation coming here next week for training for 5 full days. And these nurses in a lot of First Nation communities and Northern communities, they're not only nurses, they're also paramedics. They respond to community. So in that regard, we have them with a mannequin or a standardized patient, a human actor, on the bed, and they have to move the patient to the floor and begin a full resuscitation for perhaps somebody who has chest pain and then goes into cardiac arrest or starts declining in some way. So that's the type of thing we can do in the apartment, and we do the similar type of things in the four simulation labs.
So those sim lads that you've got, there's a number of healthcare professionals that would come and do training. You're hosting some training right now. So who are the types of healthcare professionals, not just doctors and nurses, that are coming in and doing this training?
Yeah, our main clientele are physicians, residents, nurses, some paramedics. Today we're privileged to have the inaugural Masters of Physician Assistant Studies candidates here, and congratulations to them all. They're here doing some different training today, and they'll be here on a monthly basis doing training coming up for a variety of different simulations to prepare them over the next 2 years.
So if there's a healthcare educational program or training system, do they apply to you in order to get lab time? Can they integrate with Sims? How does that work?
Yeah, they can just contact us directly at info@sksims.ca, and we can arrange, honestly, whatever type of training that is needed. We're going out to Attakakoop First Nation on Thursday for a first aid and CPR training for them. So we don't only do our training here, we'll go to anywhere throughout Saskatchewan as well.
Mm-hmm. And your new office, your new facility is still a couple of months away from opening up, but what is that going to mean for Sims?
Actually, our new facility has opened up already. We've got it fully functional, and it has meant that we are going to be able to open our doors to a lot more different training, advance our training. Next week, we're getting cameras put in. So if a simulation is going on in one room, it'll be a live feed to any one of the four classrooms, and they can watch the live simulation, and then we as a group debrief together.
Gotcha. Okay, so what is happening? Because I know you've got a date set towards the end of the year, and is it just a reopening?
Yeah, that's a grand reopening, okay, if you want to call it, or a reopening to showcase the advancements that have taken place and the variety of different training that we can do as well.
Good stuff. Well, it's great work, Jan. We've appreciated you joining our program to talk about it. Maybe just quickly before I let you go, is there a way to measure success? Because we know this program is making a difference, but sometimes it's tangible but hard to measure. Do you have a mechanism for that?
unfortunately, we do not have a mechanism. And I have searched high and low for this. You know, we can go through the Canadian Patient Safety Institute and a variety of different other organizations that track patient safety and adverse events. However, one of the unfortunate things is they are underreported. So it is challenging to find out why an error occurred or what kind of systemic issue there was, if that's the case. So the thing is, medical errors aren't typically occurring from individual negligence. There's so many other factors such as fatigue or cognitive overload, poor communication, complex workflows. There's so many different things. So it is difficult to measure. However, when we have students or participants that come here, learners that come here, at the end of the day, when they're done a simulation and we hear from them how they can take little pearls or little nuggets of knowledge and apply them to their clinical environment, that's exactly what we want to do. And I'll give one brief example that I learned from a physician colleague of mine. If they were going to give, let's say, 50 micrograms of fentanyl to somebody who has a broken leg, and safe fentanyl, of course, 50 micrograms of fentanyl to somebody with a fractured leg, we follow up with 550 because 50 and 15 sound very similar. So we don't want to give 550 to a pediatric patient when it should be 15. Mm-hmm. So it's little things like that that we really try to focus on, those small things that make a big difference.
Yeah, it is meaningful stuff, Jan. I always appreciate you joining the show to talk about what's happening at Sims. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Evan, and you take care. Go
Jan,
Riders.
You betcha. Jan Hebert, CEO of the Saskatoon Institute for Medical Simulation. Great things going on there. As you heard her talk about, they've got the four simulation labs. They have an apartment set up so that it basically simulates if you were going into someone's home to deliver healthcare. That could be a nurse. It could be a nurse practitioner. Could be a frontline paramedic. But the advantage of hands-on, scenario-based simulation training absolutely makes a difference. And healthcare is one of those where you want them to have the most advanced care and most advanced training possible. And that's definitely what you get with Sims. We look forward to their grand reopening happening a little bit later on this year. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.